Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we adore you. We bless you, Lord God. You are an awesome God, a mighty King, the Almighty Father, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. We come to bless your name. We come to praise your name. We come to honor you. We come to give you glory. We come to praise your name in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we thank you today. Oh, yeah, we have great thanks in our heart because you are almighty, because nothing is impossible to you, oh, God. We call upon your mighty name today, and we say, Abba, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy great and holy name, awesome and mighty, powerful. Holy are you, O God. Righteous are you, King. You are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. Oh, we bless your name. We praise your name. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving. You are an honorable Father. You are a mighty God. You are the almighty Father. Nothing is impossible to you. We say hallelujah, hallelujah to the Most High God. Hallelujah to our King, to our Father whom we serve. What a privilege, what an honor it is to serve the Most High God. Hallelujah. Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God, our mighty Creator, our strong tower. What a mighty God you are. You are awesome. You are holy. You are mighty in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we say hallelujah to the King. You are awesome in all your ways. You are Jehovah Shalom, a peacemaker. Oh, God, you know how to make peace in us, peace around us. Your word says, peace, be still in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you today in the name of Jesus for all that you're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, you said we could speak to every one of our mountains, everything that's coming against us, and we could say, peace, be still, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, we say to the oceans, the storms that we're facing, peace, be still. We honor your presence. We give you glory. You are the King of glory. Come in, abide with us, oh God. Oh, rule and reign in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you thanks. You are almighty. Nothing is impossible to you. So help us, oh God, in the place where we are. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us abide under your shadow, almighty. Oh, God, the arrows that fly by day, the arrows that fly by night will not come nigh us. In the name of Jesus, we come to put on our whole armor protection. In the name of Jesus, we say, Lord, you are almighty. God, you are almighty. Nothing is impossible to you. We come to please you today, Lord God. And when you are pleased, everything is done. Everything is complete in the name of Jesus. So we honor you right now. We give you glory. You are the King of glory. We thank you, Lord God. Everything that you've done, what you're doing even now, order our steps in the name of Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, that's what we need God to do, order our steps in his word. You know there's so much power in the word of God. Keep reading, keep studying, keep obeying. Power comes when you read, study, and obey. Hallelujah. God is so awesome. We don't really have words to express how great he is. He is so powerful. The word of God, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving the earth has breath. You know, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we give him praise and thanksgiving this morning. We're going to continually praise him. We're going to continually bless him and honor him, give him glory, not just with our lips, but with our whole heart. He is an honorable God. He deserves all the glory, not some, all the glory, all the praise. So I thank God for each of you this morning. We have Minister Gloria Dean Charlo on with us from Marrero, Louisiana. He's going to play a song of praise, thanksgiving unto the Father. Good afternoon, Minister Gloria Dean. How are you? You got your phone on mute?
I sure did have it on. I'm so sorry. But I thank God for this morning. Thank God for his word. Thank God for everything. Thank God. Thank God for him. So I'll just sing that song, thank you, Lord, for bringing me through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hear me well, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lanny McBride from Jackson, Mississippi. going to sing a song of praise. Good afternoon, Minister Lenny McBride. How are you?
I'm fine, Sister G, and the rest of the group. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. I want to live holy. I want to live blessed. My best life, you promised that I'd live always. Wake me up inside, no. Father, wake me up. I need you to quicken my heart, no. Father, wake me up inside, Lord, inside. Oh, God, Lord. I want to live holy, Lord, God. I want to live blessed. My best life, you promised that I'd live always. Oh, wake me up since the time my heart died. Renew my mind. Oh, Lord. Lord, whatever it takes. Your grace and your mercy, God. I need you to quicken my heart, Lord. Father, wake me up inside, Lord. All because, God, I love. I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me. Oh, Lord, in such a special way, that's why I praise you. I lift you up.
Lessons, she passed away. She said to me that her mom was gone on
be with the Lord. And she said, my mama was ready to go on, and she said, tell the Bible story, you know, the Bible study, that, you know, my mom is gone, and of course, you know, we'll all miss her. She contributed so much to this Wednesday Bible study. She looked forward to coming on, but the Lord saw, you know, fit to take her home. So now
yeah.
she don't have to worry about the care no more, no more pain, no more suffering. She's gone on to be with the Father in a better place. Hallelujah. So I thank God. So I'm going to ask Sister Annette if she will pray for Sister Thelma's family and us in her loss.
Mm-hmm.
You said me, Sister G?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for this day, God. This is the day that you have made, Father, and even so, we will rejoice this day, Lord God. And we thank you, said, precious is the death of the saints. And, Lord God, we lift up Sister Thelma, and, God, I've known her many, many years as well. And she was a faithful woman, Lord God, and she was always kind and loving. And so, Father, we bless her memory, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the blessing that she was to us and to many people. I think she was a retired school teacher. But, God, we thank you for the blessing of Sister Thelma in the name of Jesus. And, oh, God, of all comfort and strength, Lord God, we cry out today, God. You say that you're the God that comfort us, God. And, Father, we ask that you comfort her family in the name of Jesus, Father, her husband, Lord God, and her children and grandchildren, her family, Father, we just pray your blessings upon them today in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that the spirit of peace would rule and reign over their hearts and minds in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, she was such a devoted wife, Lord God, and we just pray that your confident strength be upon them in the name of Jesus. Bless us, oh God, as we cherish her memory, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and we pray that you comfort the bereaved, Father, in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that everything would be peaceful in the name of Jesus. Things would go smooth, Father. We bind any confusion or strife in the name of Jesus, and we just lose the peace, the joy and the strength of the Lord, that the comfort is, Father, above all, that she's gone to be with you, that she knew you as her Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yep. She dropped that flesh suit and took on that glorified suit, glorified body. We thank God for her. You know, her labor was not in vain. She labored, you know, untiringly for her family and, you know, for the neighborhood. She prayed. So I thank God I met Sister Thelma walking in the neighborhood and praying. And she was working in her yard. And the Lord said, go pray with her. So I went and asked if I could pray with her. And she said, yes. And that's how we became friends and sisters and neighbors. So I thank God, you know, she was so loving and so kind. Many times she would see me. And she said, come here, come here, come here. She put a piece of money in my hand. I mean, it was just so unexpected. She was always giving to me. I said, Lord, I should be giving to her. She'd give it to me. She said, no, you take this. So I thank God, you know, that I was able to receive not only monetary blessings from her, but we prayed often together. Sometimes we prayed once a week together. Sometimes, you know, I would see her husband at the park. And I was walking, and I said, how's Sister Thelma? He said, oh, she's doing good. And I would pray with him. And, you know, I would see her granddaughter, one of her granddaughters I knew, Tiana, and her daughter. Her daughter was so gracious and so kind. Every, you know, I would call her daughter, see how she was doing, and, you know, just send her texts. Because I know sometimes when you don't feel good, you don't feel like talking. But every now and then, even when she was sick, she would call me up and she said, I just wanted to hear your voice, girly. See how you doing? I'm doing better. So, you know, I was just, that was news I didn't expect and didn't even want to hear. I'm like, no, I just cried and cried when she told me that Sister Selma was going on, but she said, don't worry, my mother was ready to go. So,
yes, she was. Yes. A beautiful sister in the Lord, internally and externally. She was a beautiful woman.
Yes. I thank God for her. Thank you so much. Now, as far as I know, Sister Annette, she was a homemaker all of her life.
Really, Brother Holmes? All right. Wow. She was a gentlewoman, and at church she was so kind to the members and so loving, you know, always just such a lady. She was just a beautiful, beautiful lady.
Yes, she was. She dressed to the match, too.
Yes, she did.
She lived across the street from Sister Jelani. You can tell us, Sister Jelani.
As far as I know, she's been a homemaker. She probably had little odds and ends jobs, but she basically was a homemaker in her home. As far as I know. And I concur. She was beautiful inside and out.
Yes, she was.
Always friendly. Always had a good encouraging word for everybody. I thank God for her. Thank God for the life. She'll always be, you know, with us in memory. You know, I'll always remember her. The good things. You know, I mean, just she was just a good friend. You know, she said, I just was called to check on you. How you doing? And sometimes now she stopped by, ring the bell, and see how I was doing. So, and her husband would bring her, and she'd just say, I'm not going to say I just came to see how you doing. So I thank God for her friendship, for her love. You know, since she was on me, I can't come now. I'm fixing food. Thank God. Yeah. All righty. Well, get your Bibles ready. It's time for basic Bible facts. Bible facts. Get your Bibles ready. I know you know to bring them every time. So we're going to be doing Bible facts, so, yep, we got to do Bible facts right now. Yep. All right, so this is the first one. From the books of law, this scripture says, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and thy kindred, and I will be with them. Where is that found? From the books of the law, this scripture says, and the Lord said to Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and thy kindred, and I will be with them. Where is that?
Gloria Dean. Gloria
Dean. Okay.
Hello?
Okay.
Gloria Dean.
We can hear you.
Hello, it's down in Genesis 31. Chapter Genesis 31.
What verse?
Verse 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, right, return into the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee.
Amen. You got it. Verse 3. Good stuff. All right. Thank you, Mr. Glorgine. This scripture says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as I so prosper. So I know you know where it is, but you got to find it and read it.
Yep.
Got to find it and read it. We all know that. Love, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Can you find it? Tell me book, chapter, verse, and read it. Tell me your name.
Sister Lainey. 3 John, second verse. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper, be in health, even if thy soul prosper.
Amen. Thank you so much. Right on it. Amen. All right. So next scripture. On the epistles, this scripture says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's in one of the epistles. New Testament. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Where's that sound? When y'all do research, search those keywords out on your computer, on your iPad, whatever. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to instruct you that you should earnestly stand for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Where is that from? Come on, y'all. Sister Mary on here. Come on, Sister Mary. Look up those. Come
up.
Hello.
Hello. Gloria Dean, would you please repeat that again?
All right. Last time I'm repeating, I'm going to move on to the next one. If y'all don't get this one, I'll do it again later, another time. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, come on, Sister Delana, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Where is that?
Sister Laney.
Okay.
Jude 3 and 4, the King James Version. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to, let me see, you give diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend
where did
for
say
the
that
faith.
From?
Jude 3 and 4. I didn't read 4, I just read 3. Contend for the faith delivered unto the saints. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I looked up your word, contend for the faith.
Okay, that's
third verse.
Chapter 1, verse 3.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You said chapter 3. I'm like, no, it's in chapter 1. Okay.
It's verse 3.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. When you said 3 and 4, I thought you meant Jude chapter 3. Let's go. Wait a minute.
Yes,
ma'am. All right. Good job. Thank you, Minister Laney, for that. Wow. Hallelujah. All right, from the books of the Gospels, this scripture says, that which is born of the flesh that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Where is that found? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Come on, type them in your phone, your iPad, your whatever, computer. Type in those words.
Gloria Dean, I think this is it. John. St. John, the third chapter, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Is that it?
All right, all right. Yes, ma'am, that's
John,
it.
John 3:6.
All right, moving right along. Thank you so much. You guys are doing it. Y'all are on it now. Y'all are brilliant. From the books of the minor prophet, this scripture says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Where is that from? That's the minor prophet. Book to the minor prophet. It says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Where is that from?
Focus of Jesus, Kalana, is found in Micah, 7th chapter, the 7th verse, and it reads, as you said, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me.
Amen. Woo! You guys are on it now, that's good. Amen, amen, that's what it says. So I thank God. All right, well, we're moving on to scripture search. Scripture search. Keep your Bibles ready. Thank God for each of you all being on. Love each one of you. All right, this time we're going to do it in reverse. I'm going to give you the scripture. First one, find it, state your name and read it. Don't tell me you got it. Just read it. State your name and read it. All right. Job chapter 12. Job 12. 2 and 3. Job chapter 12, verse 2 and 3.
It's Kalana, this is G. Job chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these?
Amen. We got a little echo in the background. Try to clear it up. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Sister Delana. All right, moving right along. Next scripture. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26. Come on. First one, find it. Read it. Thank you, Megan, to read it.
Exodus 15:26. Oh, Gloria Dean. I think we have it. Gloria Dean, Exodus 15:26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Gloria Jean. All right, moving right along. Deuteronomy 7:15. I believe that's 7:15.
But I got it. Gloria Dean. But I'll let
okay.
somebody else get it.
All right.
It says, and the Lord will take away from thee all sicknesses and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee.
All right. Thank you so much. Awesome. All right, we got two more. Proverbs 4:22.
This is Sister Annette. Proverbs 4:22. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Nett.
All right.
Last one. Jeremiah 30:17.
Sister Annette, 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy womb, said the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after.
Amen. Y'all did great. All right, homework time. Genesis 32. Hallelujah. I love that chapter. Well, every chapter I really love, but there's so much in that chapter, too. So we got Genesis chapter 32. Who did the homework? State your name and read the 5 questions. Wait for the answer.
Hi, it's Kalana. I'll go first. So this is a complete the statement question. It's found in Genesis 32:3, and you complete the statement. And Jacob sent messengers before him to what?
Sister Annette, to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom.
Amen. This is a true or false question, and it's found in the fifth verse of chapter 32. And I have blank, wait a minute, and I have birds, ducks, drums, and men servants and women servants. Is that true or false?
Sister Laney, that's false. It says, I have oxen and asses, flocks, and men servants and women servants.
Amen. This is a question. It's found in verse 12. It says, "Who said blank? I will surely do who said this? I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the seed of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes." Who said that to whom? So I repeat the question. I want to know who said, I will surely do good. I read that incorrect. I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes. Who said that?
God to Abram.
God said that to, not to Abram. Maybe he did say it to Abram, but he also said it in verse in chapter 32. Who did he say it to?
Jacob. God said that to Jacob.
Yes, it was Jacob. You're correct. God did say it to Jacob. My fourth question is, what is kine? K-I-N-E. What is kine?
What verse?
It's in the 15th verse.
Huh?
What is kine? 15? K-I-N-E. What type of animal is kine? K-I-N-E. You'll probably have to look this up, but...
I don't know. What verse?
The 15th, 1-5, 15.
Oh, 15. Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I answer, Shalana?
I don't want to. Okay.
Go ahead, Shalana.
I was just say it's the cows collectively. More than one cow. A group of cows.
Yes. It is a cow. I just put that in as a bonus because I didn't know what it was. And the last question is found in verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. And Jacob called the name of the place blank. Yeah, that's my question. And Jacob called the, I done gave the answer. Sorry. Why did he call it Peniel? why did Jacob call the place Peniel?
Number one, Gloria Dean, because he's face to face with God.
Yes, ma'am.
God, face to face, you know, the battle he had.
Amen.
That's 30.
All right.
That's my guy.
Good job. Who's next? Good job, Shalana. Did good. Who's next? Five questions. Is Sister Shalana the only one who get a homework?
Sister Lainey.
Okay.
Sister Lainey. What did Jacob do when he realized he was afraid of facing his brother? What was his strategy that he used to protect himself or protect himself? Verse 32, verse 7. What did Jacob do? Verse 7.
Oh, what chapter?
32. What did Jacob do when he was trying to strategize how to protect himself from his brother he was afraid of?
Hi, Sister Lainey. This is Shalana.
Yes,
said,
ma'am.
He divided the people. He divided the people that was with him, and he also divided the flock and the herd and the camels into two hands.
That's correct. Very good. Next question. what did he ask God to do to protect him from his brother? What did he, what kind of conversation did he have with God? It's in verse 32:11. What was his prayer to God when he was?
He said, "Deliver me, deliver
that's
me."
Right. That's right. That's right. He was scared, as the children would say. The next question is in verse 20. What was his strategy now to give his brother? What did he think to do to get in the good graces, to get favor back with his brother? What was the deed that he wanted each to did? There were several verses before that, but it actually states something unique there. Verse 20, 32:20, what was the conversation, what was the thing that he did to, he strategized to appease his brother, to get his good graces?
This is Mary.
Yes.
Well, he acknowledged that his strategy was to appease him with presents, but he also sent the presents ahead of him. That was his strategy.
Right. Very good, because verses before talked about he sent them little by little, but this is the verse that kind of sums it up. Thank you so much. Here's the next one. The who did Jacob wrestle with through his dilemma? He was just trying to rest and trying to settle himself down. Verse 24. Who did he wrestle with? Verse 24, I'm sorry. Yes.
Oh, 24.
24, yes, ma'am.
Oh. He wrestled with the man.
Right. It says he wrestled with a man. My Bible says Jacob wrestled with God. God represented. Over the years, I've heard of God. He wrestled with an angel. Miss G can help us with that. And what her thoughts are on that. The Bible says he wrestled with a man. And my little, you know, in my Bible, study Bible, it says he wrestled with God. And I heard over the years he wrestled with an angel. So, Sister D,
yeah,
you want to put a note on that?
Mine said both, but the angel represented God.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's significant, you know. The concept is that he had a divine encounter.
Right.
And it's all repeated in verse 30 that he wrestled and that I have seen God face to face.
That's okay. That's huge. That's really merit to that verse. Thank you.
Right.
Verse 28. What did God change Jacob's name to? It's in verse 28. What did God change Jacob's name to? It's in verse 28. 32:28. From Jacob to what?
Mary.
Yes,
he changed his name to Israel.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And my last one was already mentioned in verse 30. The concept is that God blessed them. And our sister already told about where he did it and faith to faith with God. So those are my questions. Thank you.
Amen. Y'all are doing great. I love those questions, Solana and Sister Selena. Good job. All right. Who's next? Homework. All right. Well, No more homework. Minister, Sister Gloria Dean Carlo is going to give us the summary of Genesis 31 and 32. Did I skip anybody who had homework? All right. Sister Gloria Dean, it's on you. Summary.
I'm going to do the best I can because I didn't go back over things that I did. I know we had a lot of time. But according to 31 and 32, you told me to talk about that. But as it comes in the beginning with 31, that Laban's sons had gone told him, say, look, there, I'll just bring it, you know, we understand it, that Israel, that Jacob is getting away with all of our animals. Or, in other words, our riches or whatever. He said that the father, I'll read what it says. He says, well, Jacob had heard him, the first verse, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. But I think that came from the fact about the speckled animals, because when Laban, he let Laban have his share of animals, and he told him, I'll take all the spotted ones, speckled ones. But praise God, that just goes down. And so therefore we know that Jacob did not steal from Laban like Laban thought, whatever. And the Lord said unto Jacob, he said, return unto thy fathers and to thy kindred, and he'll be with thee. Because you see, Laban had, like Jacob told his wives, that your father has turned against me right now. And you think I've taken something from him, you know. So, and his constant is showing a difference with me. So we're going to have to leave now and go. And so the Lord told Jacob that, you know, to leave. He's time for him to leave. So he went on to start leaving, and he got about 7 days ahead when he escaped, because he actually told his daughters what happened, you know, and he did not steal anything. But when they went 7 days, well, 7 days after Laban had found out that they had gone, well, they went after Jacob. He said, well, he left here. I didn't even kiss my grandchildren or my daughters or nothing goodbye, and he's gone. So they went on that trail to catch up with Jacob, and it took 7 days to catch up with him. And he said unto him, why did you leave like that? I didn't even kiss my grandchildren or anything, or my daughters. Why did you leave like that? And he said, well, because you see, the Lord told Jacob to leave. He told him to leave and get back to your hometown. Get back to your hometown. And so, and Jacob rose up with his sons and wives. That's why he left. And Laban was very angry. But God told Laban in a dream, don't dare say anything good or bad to Jacob. See, God was taking care of Jacob because Laban was ready to say anything bad, he was ready. But God did not allow him to say anything bad or good to him. Praise God. So he told him in the 24th verse, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then Laban kept that in his heart, kept that in his mind. And Laban said to Jacob, you know, why? He asked him, why did you do that? Why did you steal from me? He said, why do you steal from me? And I'm making this very short. He said, but he didn't know anything. Jacob didn't know anything about stealing. He knew he didn't steal anything. But we know that his daughter, Rachel, she stole in verse 30, she stole it says, and now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet where hast thou stolen my gods? And Jacob said he didn't know, but we know Rachel did it. And this is verse 32, this is what gets me. When he said, with whomsoever thou findest our gods, let them not live before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. I'm going to read that again. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob didn't even know that Rachel had stolen those false gods. You know, that's how they worship these false gods. And I guess Rachel thought being with her, it would do something for them. But she had to realize that was not of God. She didn't realize it. But they went on with it, and they went on. They took his stuff. Well, what she did, Laban said, well, I'm going to search. I'm going to search each one of you. First of all, he searched Jacob. He didn't find anything. He searched Leah. He didn't find anything. He searched the concubines. He didn't find anything. But then he went on to search Rachel that was sitting on her camel and on her things that she had on her camel, and she had hidden that little false gods. And she told her father, well, Father, I didn't do it because, and we knew what that word was. I said it was death, but it wasn't death. It was she was on her period, you know, a menstrual period at the time, and men could not touch them at that time with ladies, and that's in life today. So that's what she told him. So therefore, he never did get them. He didn't know who stole them, if he was stolen. So praise God, Rachel had those things. She had them hid, praise God. So in verse 35, she said, and she said to her father, let me not displease my father, Lord, that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched and found not the images, because he couldn't find it. It was in her document she had in the furniture somewhere here. So praise God, they went on. And in that day, it was Jake was on his way back to the house. So back, you know, where God had told him to go. And he was back to the hometown, in his hometown, praise God. And Laban, you know, he told him, he's very distraught about everything, but the place where Laban had laid his head, where Jacob had laid his head, I kind of hadn't studied as much as I should have, but he had laid his head upon a pillar where he had prayed that, you know, during that time. And because he would, anyway, and he, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm trying to get it together because I didn't study much as I should have afterwards. But then they went on, and they had, they made an agreement. Where he had laid his head, they made a pillar, and they made more heaps up there, made it heap, and that they would not do anything to one another, and that everything would go on with them in peace from now on. Because, you see, Laban couldn't even speak anything evil to him, to Jacob. So praise God, we thank God that they got together. They said, now this heap is here. You cannot go over this heap to get to me, Jacob, and I can't get over this heap to get to you, Jacob could not get to Laban, and Laban could not get to Jacob. So that was that heap before. That was a covenant that they made between them to bring peace. So before they left, the peace had come before they left. Jacob went on and had a nice feast and a dinner for them to have a nice time before he went back to before Laban went back to his home where he was. So therefore, he was able to kiss his daughters and kiss his grandchildren, and then he went on his way. He was very happy after that. So we thank God for that ending. Whew. Now 32. Well, it was a little not so much difficult, but I didn't go through it as much, you know, but it was Jacob.
You want me to do it, Mr. Glory Jean?
Yeah, you can do it. I know some of them, but you can go on and do it. But some of the nice things in there, I remember. But you go on and do it. You can do it.
No. Go ahead and tell me. Go ahead, the part that you know, and I'll take it.
Oh, okay. Now Jacob's on his way. Angels. Jacob was on his way. You know, in this chapter, Jacob was so afraid of his brother Esau, because you know what he did, Esau? He took his birthright, you know, and things like that. And so this is one of the things he really hated him for. So what Jacob had done was wrong, you know. So Esau said in one of the chapters, when my father dies, I'm going to get him. Praise God. So Esau was on his trail. Praise God. And he had, and during that time, Jacob sent messages out to Esau's brother, and he sent to the land of Seir where he was, Edom. And he also sent him a present and everything. And I have, oxen and asses and all what he had, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight, because he sent him gifts. He was so afraid of him. But I can go on and tell about this and that, but Sister Corita, you go on and do it, because I'll be jumping and skipping in and out, you know, what happened, everything, at the end and everything, because it's a short chapter, wasn't that hard, you know, to get it together. So I'd rather for you to go on and finish it.
Okay.
Hello?
Well.
Yeah, I'd rather for you.
I'm here.
You're there? Okay. So, yeah, you can do it. I would have made it very short, but I don't want to make it that short. I'll let it be that you can explain about.
Oh, no, I'm going to make it very short as well. So, Dr. Drew, just tell us about. Okay, so it just tells about where Jacob began to have, he began to wrestle. Well, actually, he sent his wives on ahead, and he got by himself. The Lord, he had an encounter with God, and he started wrestling with him. And, you know, he was tired, but he kept wrestling with him. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And so when he got to, it was all night, just him and the man that he was wrestling with. And then when the man saw he could not win, so he touched Jacob's thigh, and he had a limp. He couldn't walk right anymore. And he blessed that place where he was. He kept telling him, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He said, listen. He said, what's your name, Jacob? And Jacob said, Jacob. He said, well, from this day forth, you will no longer be called Jacob. You will be called Israel. So that's what his name was, Israel. And Jacob blessed that place from that forth. And so Jacob asked the man he was wrestling with, what's your name? But he wouldn't tell it. You know, he said, you don't really need to know my name. So anyway, I really enjoyed the story. You know, it was, sometimes I don't always get to read it like I want, so I listen to it. Sometimes I want to me just listen to the story. So sometimes I will text you all, the story, so you can listen to it. So even if you cannot read it, you can listen to it. So some days I read, some days I listen, some days I do both, particularly if there's something I don't understand. But anyway, we're going to continue on with the lesson. Did anybody have anything they wanted to add to the story? All right.
I thought it was fascinating how Sister Laney, I thought it was really amazing how much grace and mercy God had for Jacob. He made a lot of mistakes, but it didn't change what God had predestined him to do in life. And I think that's significant for us to note now, as we see so many things we deal with. If God has a purpose in your life, he'll see it to the end.
Excellent. That was very significant. Point
we
spoke about.
Thank you so
much. Anybody else?
Want to share anything else? This is Talana. I wanted to add, I had looked up the commentary because for years I've also heard that it was an angel. Then I looked up a commentary, and of course one of the commentaries showed that it was a messenger from the Lord or a pre-incarnated Christ. But I just wanted to add that the Word of God tells us it was a man, but commentaries say, angel commentaries say, pre-incarnated Christ, and some people say God. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Sister G.
Yes.
Mary, and I just
want to, I like this chapter because of Jacob's prayers. And even though Jacob's had time to be a little bit of a scoundrel, mm-hmm. when it came down to business, he prayed. And like in the verse 9 of chapter 32, and Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac and the Lord which said unto me, return unto my country and thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercy and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." And then, of course, he prayed for God to deliver him. But I guess I'm just reminded that when it comes down to it, the best thing, the needed thing is to pray.
Amen.
Yes. Yep.
And
thank you so much.
Yeah, it's not about 31 or 32. You know, I haven't been on for a while, but one of the things I love most, and it goes back to chapter 27, and it's verse 27:11, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man." I just love the fact that Jacob was a smooth man, so I just honor the Lord for him being a smooth man. I honor God for every man, but I love the fact that, you know, when those twins came into the world, that God had two nations, and that, you know, is defined in the Bible. So I love the fact that Jacob was a smooth-skinned man. So thank you so much. I just needed to say that. All right, thanks.
All right. Well, today our message is on divine direction. Divine direction. Genesis 31:3. When God orders our steps, we are going in the right direction. When we order our own steps, we mess up. So the steps of a good man or a person are ordered by the Lord, says Genesis 37:23. Genesis 31:3 says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob," he's ordering Jacob's steps, "return into the land of thy fathers and of thy kindred, and I'm going to be with you." Many times we seek direction, guidance from other people. We'll call somebody else before we consult our Creator, the one who made us, the Most High God, to guide us in the way we should go. God is not human and can help us with everything we face in life. I'm going to repeat that. God is not human, and he can help us with everything we face in life. He is the God of impossibility. We are limited, but he is not. He's the God of impossibility. The word of God says in Psalms 25:9, "The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way." So when we are humble and we go to God, you know, he's going to guide us. He's going to teach us the way. He's going to lead us. Psalms 32:8 says, "But I will instruct you, teach you in the way which you should go. I will guide you with mine eye." Now, you know the eye of God sees everything. So he's going to guide us in the right direction. But we got to be willing to go. We can't say, "Oh, no, God, I'm not ready. No, look what I did. I stole, I murdered, I drank, I drugged up, I, you know, whatever it was we did." We can't give excuses. We got to just say, "Lord, if you chose me to do this, you must count me worthy to be able to do it." You know, Moses, when God stopped Moses, but he said, "Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh." He said, "But I can't. I did, you know, he stuttered, like, you know, like God didn't know he stuttered. God knew everything about us. He guides us with his eye. God knows each one of us individually. He don't know us by our dad, by our mama, even by our pastor. No, he knows us personally. But here's the key. We need to get to know him personally. We need to hear his voice. We need to know when he's talking. We need to know when he's still, when he's quiet. And we can only do that by getting in the secret place with him, by listening to his voice. You know, check and say, God, is that you? Repeat that to me again, Father. Say it to me. And, you know, when he talks, he's in a small, quiet voice. He ain't going to hardly shout off the rooftop very seldom. I don't think I ever heard him shout at me. It's always quiet. And, you know, I could be busy. And I said, whoop, okay. I'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. One day, I forgot, I think it was Monday, I was in my living room doing something, and I heard all this noise. And I said, oh, my God, it looked like they were getting ready to fight. And I looked out the window. It was about 6 or 8 boys, you know, maybe from 8 years old. I said, oh, my God. The Lord said, go out there. So I opened the door, and I went out there and said, hey, we don't want murder. We don't want violence. We don't want crime in our neighborhood. But let me tell you, I wasn't going to go. I only went when God told me to go, because that's when I know I'm protected. I didn't know if they had guns. I didn't know if they had knives. I didn't know what they were going to do to me. But because God said go, I know when he tell me, I'm going to be protected. I have nothing to worry about. So I went out there and I said, come here. I said, you see this skin right here? I said, too many of this dark-skinned young people are dying. Now, look here. I don't know what y'all fussing about. What's the problem? Oh, no, miss. We wasn't fussing. I said, let me tell you something. I know you hear the news. Too many black young men, black young women are getting killed every day. So you need to get along with each other. Now, what's the problem? Oh, there's no problem, miss. I looked at the one, looked like they were on him. And I said, what's the problem? Oh, no, it's no problem. I said, okay, I don't want to hear about no crime, no murder, no violence, no drugs, no whatever. I said, let me pray with y'all. And they said, yes, ma'am. They bowed their heads, and they let me pray with them. And one 8-year-old, he said, he was trying to talk. I said, hey, you stop it and reverence God. But so they stopped it, and they thanked me. Oh, thank you, miss, for praying for us. I said, yeah, y'all get along. Go do what y'all doing, but get along. Don't try to harm each other. Get along with each other. Love on one another. Be friends with each other. And, you know, they listened. So I saw them walking back and forth again. They were a little bit quieter this time, but I thank God, you know, that I heard his voice, because I wasn't going out there if I didn't hear his voice. I didn't know what was going to go on. But when I heard his voice, I went out there. So we got to know him personally. We got to know his voice. We got to know when he's speaking. You know, sometimes he may speak to us through the word of God. He may give us one word. And we got to know when God is talking. Sometimes you may get a sign from God. But you got to know when he's talking. You got to know, okay, Lord, I hear you. You know, he may send somebody else to speak to you about a matter, but you got to know when it's him. But the only way you're going to know that is spend time. You know, like a husband and a wife, they get married, they're going to have to spend time with one another to get to know each other. The husband got to spend time with the wife got to spend time with the husband to get to know one another. Even a couple that's engaged, you got to spend time to get to know that person. You can't just know them if you say, oh, well, I'm going to eat breakfast with you, but I'm going. I ain't going to spend no more time. No. You got to get to know them personally. You know, what they smell like, what they like, what they don't like, where they go, where they coming from, where they been. You got to spend time. That's how we got to do with God. Through reading the scriptures, you can really get to know him. You know, go back to Genesis chapter 1 when God says, you know what, when he made Adam and Eve, every day he met with them. Every day he went in the cool of the day in the garden to meet with them. Now, it was them who stopped meeting with God. They chose not to. They chose to hide from him because they thought, oh, my God, we messed up. See, their eyes were opened then. God knew what they were going to do before the foundations of earth. Look here. He already know what each one of us going to do. He know, but he's already sent Jesus in our place to get forgiveness. We're already forgiven, but we do need to go and say, Lord, oh, my God, I messed up again. Lord, I messed up. That don't mean he stopped loving us. He going to stop caring about us. No. Jacob messed up. Adam and Eve messed up. Moses messed up. The only one who didn't mess up in the Word of God was Jesus. He's the only perfect one. In other words, we all going to mess up. But God will forgive us. He will forgive us readily. He's already forgiven us. We just got, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I know you told me to go at 4 o'clock to do it, and I forgot. Lord, forgive me. Whatever it is. So in Genesis 32, Jacob had a personal encounter with God. Jacob prayed to God in Genesis 32:9. He felt unworthy to come to God in God's presence. But he made a request to God to deliver him from the hand of his brother. He knew it messed up with his brother. Now, you know, a lot of parents, you know, they come together with their child and side against the other parent. We can't do that. You got to get along. I don't care even if you disagree with whatever. You come together and you say, look here, I know you don't like the way I disciplined Caritha, but, you know, this is how I was feeling. What do you feel about it? Well, this is how I feel we should discipline her. This is how I feel we should, you know, deal with this matter. Oh, okay, well, I hadn't thought about that. Let's do this. You got to be in agreement with each other, even with your grandchildren. You don't come against the grandmother, grandfather, and say, no, we ain't going to. No, talk about it, discuss it. Come to an agreement with it. So, you know, Jacob said, look, Father, I messed up with my brother. Me and my mama, you know, she loved me, and we sided against the father, and, you know, against him, so I could take his birthright. And God already knew that before the foundation of the earth. He knew what Jacob was going to do. And guess what? He already knew what we're going to do tomorrow, the next day, or however long he know what we're going to do. He even know how we think. The Word of God says he knows our thoughts are far off. So when Jacob was alone, he wrestled with the man. And Jacob won. He was victorious. But the man said, okay, because you were victorious, you won this battle. He, you know, touched his thigh. And made it out of socket. He said, look, and that's one thing he did. Number two, he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. So, you know, we know the story later on. You know, the son, he favored his son. He had all those other sons, but he favored his son. Which son did he favor? Somebody tell me. Which son did he favor? Hello? You know,
it's
coming
Rebecca's
up. Well,
son.
Say it again.
Rebecca's son. I can't think of a name.
You say with Esau.
No. I'm talking about Jacob. We haven't got to that story in Genesis yet. But what son did Jacob, when his name was changed to Israel, what son did he favor?
Joseph.
Of many coats, I cannot think of.
Joseph.
Joseph, that's it. Right. Rhonda, that's right. He had a coat of many colors he made for his son, Rhonda. Joseph, he favored Joseph. So this is another whole story. We can't favor children because it made his brothers jealous. All those other sons that he had by Leah, oh, no, they hated his brother. But the father was partly responsible. So, we can't favor. Jacob was determined to be blessed. So, he refused to let go of God until he blessed it. He received his blessing. He sure did. He got it. So, we got to be determined, just like Jacob, or Israel, whatever you want to call him at this point, to receive our blessings. What do you need from God to bless you? you with? What do you need God to bless you with? Do you need God to bless you with healing? Do you need God to bless you with deliverance? What you need to be delivered from? What you need to be healed from? Do you need God to, you know, save your children, your grandchildren, your family members, your brother, your sister? What do you need to do? So we got to shut up with him, get in the secret place with him, and then seek his face, all your heart. And he'll bless you just like he blessed you. He's no respecter person. He loved Jacob, but he loved you too. He loved me too. So I'm going to ask Minister Laney, if she'll pray a prayer over us, that we will wrestle with God and we won't let him go till he blesses us with what we need.
Oh, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, our gracious Father, we so thank you for your word that you've shared with us today, this great word, Sister G, and all the ladies that brought to light so many things that we need to consider when we think about our intimate relationship with you. Hallelujah, God. We are on this line because we do desire you, God. We want to please you. And even with the song this morning, Wake Me Up Inside, Sister G said something profound. She said, sometimes we want to live holy, but we don't know all the answers of how to get there. So we stay in your word, and we study your word, and we get in your presence, and we sit with you. And we say, God, show us who we really are. Show us who we really are. Wake us up inside so we can know what you put in us. We know, God, in your word, you said in Isaiah 14 that which you purposed will stand. And you said in 27, who can disannul what God has already ordained? Hallelujah. You said in Isaiah 65 and 24, before we even pray, you've already answered. So we come today, God, because you have the answers to all of our questions, all our issues. Sister G says to ask me to ask you. And I join my sisters and brothers. I bring all of us alongside. Let God, we so need you to show us how to get to that which you designed so we can honor you, God, with our whole life. God, we have dominion and authority, but we only have it because you delegated it. And we don't want to do anything without your power. We don't want to do anything without your anointing. We don't want to do anything in our flesh. She taught us today again through your word that flesh equals flesh and spirit equals spirit. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus, first we ask you to forgive us for those places, those crevices in our mind and our thinking where we went out on our own and tried to do some things based on even our own goodness. Forgive us for that. Now, God, we ask you to realign our thinking, realign our heart's desire, the works of our hands. We know faith worketh by love, that, Father, we could know what you have designed us to do. And in spite of all we've been through, our destiny is to honor you with our whole life. So, God, show us how to get in your presence. Guide us to that place. And help us to open up so we can hear you. Let you show us what you desire us to be doing and how to do it. We bring to you, God, all our broken parts and our missing pieces, even the parts that have not tried to fit in place. We've tried to put things in place that didn't fit because we were being guided by the arm of the flesh. Forgive us, God. We repurpose ourselves, and we ask that, God, you will refine us, refine our desire, burn out anything in us that is not of you, and purpose us for your good. All we want is to please you. It's taken a while for us to get to this point because all these years in the Word, in church Elam, and we've been going after you. But now, Father, we ask you to take us forward, that we will follow after you and not ask you to go with us with our decisions. We come to you with all that we are. We give you all that we are. And we say, God, do as you desire with us. And we will be humbled, and we are humbled right now, that you will so use us to make a difference in marriage. We love you, God, and we thank you, and we lift up again our leader, Sister G, for her heart that has set us up to even have this prayer right now to be in your presence and to bring each other alongside, such as the Holy Spirit is a friend alongside. Guide us by your Spirit. Help us to get to that secret place. Help us, Father, to get under your glory and not try to supersede you. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done and all that you will do. And we look forward to the journey. And we thank you, Father, that we will reach our destiny. We'll reach the goal that you've set for us. And we will fulfill our purpose in the name of Jesus. Now, for every accursed thing that's tried to attach itself to us, every artificial thing, everything that's almost God, everything that looked like you that really wasn't you, God, we pray that it would just clear off us and die, fall to the ground. And, Father, when we get up to move, we filter all that we are and all that we do through the blood of Jesus. And we say, Father, clean us up with the blood of the Lamb. Purpose us afresh for the journey. We give you praise, and we thank you now for all those things we don't even see yet. We thank you that we're on our way to fulfill the desires of your heart as you we fulfill the desires of our hearts to please you. But we thank you, Father, that you hear and answer our prayer. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate that powerful prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Delana if she can close this. We're going to be getting off in a moment. But I thank God for each one of you. Thank you all for diligently, you know, seeking the face of the Father and for studying the Word. I thank God for you all coming on weekly. I appreciate each one of you. You know, God has a plan for all of our lives. So I thank God for you all. I'm going to ask Sister Delana if you close us out. Please remember Sister Thelma Holmes in the prayer and the babies, baby Chloe Zoe, baby Kaiser, et cetera like that, and all of our concerns, if you'll lift those up as well. Thank you.
Amen. I just wanted to share before we close on, a story about Sister Thelma. I am her neighbor. I stayed across the street from her, and I concur, like I said, was a sweetheart. But I never forget when one of the things she did, she didn't know how to drive, and when her husband got sick, they had a stick shift, a little small truck, and they were on the expressway driving, and he started having his attack then, and she was like, Castell, 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 just call him, Castell, Castell. And she didn't know how to drive, so she was like, Holy Spirit, Jesus, help me drive this truck. And he maneuvered her to pull that stick shift over to the side, and it had to be the Lord because his feet were still on the gas. And she got it over, and I remember she used to back up and forth down the driveway, back up and forth down the driveway, and trying to drive, and she learned how to drive with the help of the Holy Spirit when her husband got sick. She had never drove. He drove her everywhere, and she had never drove. And it was just funny watching her drive up and down the driveway, backing in and out. It was funny seeing her do that, and she really learned how to drive. So anyway, that was just one of the good, smart things that I just wanted to share. It said in Numbers, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Bless each and every one of us, our homes, everything that we do for the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I love each of you all. I thank God for you all. Thank God for your lives. Thank God for what you do for the Lord on a daily basis. I love each of you. You already know God loves you even more. So have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, a God-filled month. Look forward to talking to you very soon.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless.